Well, turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs 4, found on page 672 of your pew Bible. And we'll be looking tonight at verses 1 through 9. Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insights. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, "Let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom and insight. Do not forget. And do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown." Well, this evening we're returning to these words of wisdom of Solomon given to his son. And so we'll be looking this evening at three things: how it is that our loving Father repeats his lessons. Second, this idea that the teaching that children's hearts will hold them permanently. Teaching that aims for children's heart to hold these lessons permanently. And thirdly, giving all for real treasure. And so this evening we're going to be looking at these three things. Throughout the book of Proverbs, we see many of these themes addressed again and again and again. And we've noted over the weeks thus far that this is a common practice, is it not, parents, for how it is that we raise our children. That they rarely learn the lesson once, but it had to be repeated time and again, and it had to be demonstrated from various angles as to its benefit to them before it seemed that it was firmly fixed within their heart and their mind that it would guide them. And so here we see this evening that Solomon is enlisting those same principles that were helpful to us as we grew, with hopes that they would demonstrate their benefit to his own son, to his own children. But as he says this, it's also important for us to realize that not only is this Solomon addressing his son, but it is our Heavenly Father addressing us in his word, knowing us to be children and in need of having these truths repeated again and again. And so we see here that as he begins this, that Solomon here, instead of only attesting to what he has learned and knows for himself in his lifetime, enlists some additional support. We see here that he calls to his son's attention the fact that his own father had diligently sought to instruct him in the Word of God. Now, this is a good opportunity for us to again see what are some of the blessings of growing up within a Christian household, where those patterns of instruction have been learned and are passed down generation after generation. It's something that's easy for us, especially if we have grown up within a covenant family, sometimes to not give the kind of thought to and appreciate as much as we ought. But here we see that Solomon uses this as another way to make a compelling argument for his son to listen. Listen, this is what your grandfather taught me when I was but a young man. And it was an expression of His love that He undertook this important duty in obedience to what God had commanded. And we saw that command given to God's people back in Deuteronomy chapter 4, where they were commended to give themselves to speaking of these things, to teaching their children. Because if they didn't teach them, there was no way those things were ever going to become affixed to their heart and become a mark of their life. And so He repeats these things. And He explains why it is that He is diligently passing on those lessons that were first shared to Him. Now, there's other things that we can glean from this example of even His father, David. One, we see that David didn't put off until his son was older these most important duties. The example that's given here by Solomon is that when I was a son with my father, tender, meaning young, I was but a little child, and my father was already giving himself to that important task in obedience to God of training me up in the way in which I was to go. That's a helpful reminder for us who are parents. It sometimes can occupy our thought that, you know, it'll be so much easier to teach them when they've gotten older and they have the capabilities to reason with me. But oftentimes, if we put off that important task of teaching our children until they come to that age of being reasonable, the patterns of the world have already been firmly established, and the opportunity to reason may not be there. These are things that are to be used like seasoning in food, that is to affect that which we are seeking to create, so that the final product will be something that would be glorifying to God and would be in obedience to His command. And so He repeats these things. And these things are repeated because it's easy to forget them. As I was thinking about this idea of having to repeat and demonstrate things over and over again, I can remember as a young man having opportunity with my grandmother to cook in her kitchen. And time again, she would have me help her make bread. And I'm glad that she did, because had I only undertaken that task once, I likely would never have remembered it. But then 20 or 30 years go by and those things become distant memories. And one of the great gifts that I got recently from my mother were a set of tea towels that had my grandmother's recipes on them. It served as a reminder. It brought back to my mind many of those things that my grandmother had lovingly tried to teach me. It brought back those memories of her example, the fact that she would take time out of her busyness there on the farm to instruct this novice baker. But it was a manifestation of her love and concern. But she also was one that was given it to use those opportunities to speak about what she had been reading in God's Word that day. And I look back at those valuable opportunities where we spoke about the practical application of the Word of God in our lives as being something that the Lord used to help me grow in my understanding and preparations for life. And so that is what Solomon is engaged in here with the son whom he loves. This is what God is engaged in as He lovingly has preserved for us His Word, that it would serve to bring us back time and again to those things that He would have for us to guide and direct us. Now we see here, he moves on to the second, that the importance of this teaching was more than just a mental exercise. Solomon's desire was not that those of his sons would merely be astute enough to win a game of Bible trivia. The greater concern was not what necessarily occupied their mind, though that is important. But Solomon's greatest concern, God's concern for us, is that that word would occupy our hearts, for it is from our hearts that the rest of our life is shaped. It's the contents of our hearts that are responsible for the things that proceed from our mouths. Whether we find ourselves ruled by our emotion, and whether we speak before we think, or whether it is that we yearn after the things of the world rather than the things of God. Much of that is shaped by that which occupies our hearts. And if it is God's word that is stored within our hearts, it aids us in ensuring that the product of our speech will be glorifying to Him, and that the engagements of our hands will also be glorifying to Him and in obedience to His commands. Perhaps you've heard in our day and age how the tendency for parents, and I'm guilty of this myself, is that we hover over our children. They've got a word for that. They call them helicopter parents, right? And these helicopter parents tend to stay close to their children, and their aim is to spare their kids from stubbing their toe, falling down, hurting themselves, or in other ways meeting a disastrous end. And one of the ways that that hovering can manifest itself is that we begin, instead of seeking to teach and instruct our children in the way that they ought to go, we facilitate our children merely riding our coattails, seeking to do all things for them. Maybe if you thought in terms of that important lesson that we all have to learn about crossing the street, it's an important lesson to learn, that we need to look both ways before we take that step out. But if we would neglect to teach our children how to cross the street, if we pledged ourselves to always be with our child to ensure that they got across the street, that would be a great disservice to our children, wouldn't it? Because we understand what is the way of men and women. We won't always be here for our children. And so it is imperative that rather than hover, rather than have our children ride our coattails, that we give ourselves to instructing them from God's word, that they would know these things themselves, embrace them themselves, and be guided by them. For there are a few things that make us prouder as parents, are there, than watching our children utilize that knowledge. Having our children come to us and ask us a question, and before we answer for them, they call to their own mind something that they have learned from God's word and say, "It seems like this speaks to this matter. Is this a right application of God's word? Would this give me the answer I need for this problem in my life?" And we give thanks to God that those lessons, that those Bible stories have found their home within their heart, and that they're utilizing that gray matter that God has been pleased to give them to engage with His word and be guided by it. Because we know that at the end of the day, they will be able to walk successfully in the way of Christ. And that gives us great joy. I'm sure my grandmother, as she taught again and again and again that bread recipe, knew that, well, if he grasps this, he probably won't starve. There was some satisfaction when she saw that was embraced, understood, and acted upon. And so here we see that it is important that these things remain within our hearts Children, this is why it's important, as your parents would instruct you, that the time that they're taking to engage with you on these truths doesn't go in one ear and out the other. Understand, this isn't necessarily only for their benefit that they are recalling the lessons of their own youth and study of God's Word. But it's aimed at you and what you need so that you too can enjoy those benefits. That your hearts will have His Word written upon them. Now, he goes on here and he speaks on two occasions of the importance of our getting wisdom and insight. This idea of acquiring or getting wisdom, it's better translated here by the Hebrew word to infer buying. This is something that we should desire so much that we are willing to give all that we have in the pursuit of wisdom from God. Now, there's a practice, I think this happens over in South Sudan, that as a young man identifies that woman that he wants to have be his bride, there is a dowry that has to be paid. And one of the big problems now in South Sudan is that the inflation, the cost of that dowry is so great that it can be prohibitive for some young men being able to pursue that one whom they love. But it is that which is the idea here. And in fact, as Solomon is speaking about the wisdom of God, you hear here kind of a father's approach to coming alongside his son and impressing upon him what a godly wife he should be looking for. And so here, wisdom is the epitome of that wonderful wife that is a blessing to any man that is pleased by God's grace to have her. She yields so much. And Proverbs 31 will speak more extensively on this matter of what is a godly woman. That we might understand that throughout Proverbs, he has held up wisdom and this idea of a wife as being something interchangeable, a great blessing, something to be pursued, a pearl of great price, worth anything and everything that it would cost. And this too is an important lesson from our passage today. Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget, do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. The Word of God is for us security. It is comfort. It is a blessing. And so as he talks about these things, he is impressing upon his son that this is something you should want above all else. Now, this is a challenge for us because it forces us to think in real terms as to what am I prepared to pay? How much do I truly desire God's Word? Am I willing to give up my schedule? Am I willing to give up my pursuits in the world? Am I willing to commit myself to spending time within His Word on a daily basis to more than read it, but to meditate upon it? To avail myself of those opportunities which God gives where His Word is being expounded, where I can grow under the preaching and the teaching of His Word? How far are you willing to go? Of what value does God's Word have? For we understand that God doesn't want merely a part of our commitment. He doesn't want merely a part of our heart and our mind. But He wants it in full. He wants our total commitment to Him. And that is why I think Solomon uses these allusions to marriage, because these are important ways in which we can have further solidified in our thinking the fact that when we give ourselves to that spouse, we do so for the rest of our days. We all know it's completely inappropriate for us to think that we can have relationships outside of that marriage, right? That wouldn't be right. That wouldn't be faithful. And so he uses that here that we might realize that the same is inferred in our relationship with Christ if we think that we can have one foot in and one foot out. No. Our husband, Jesus Christ, expects our utter and full commitment to him. In all things. If we truly love him. And we'll give ourselves to him in that way. Love her and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. Again, you're not about the accumulating of tidbits of information. That's not the point of the word that God has given. It's that it would truly illuminate your path, direct your steps, guide your speech, aid you in the decisions that you must make in this life, that you may know full well that they are in accord with his word. Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland, and she will bestow on you a beautiful crown. Not only does this have benefit to us within, but we see that the Word of God has a transformative effect upon us on the outside as well, making us identifiable to the world as those who have been so changed by Christ that it becomes an adornment for us, that it epitomizes that victory that is ours in Christ. It is identifiable to those around us. And so again, we find in this passage our loving and dedicated Father speaking to us again and again of these truths that they might find permanent residence within us. We're reminded that these matters are a concern of the heart, and they need to find permanent residence there, that they would shape and mold us. But also, that we are to pursue these things as the treasures that they are, not half-heartedly, but in full, that we might enjoy those benefits that come and are attendant with them all the days of our life. Let's look to him in prayer. Almighty God, again, we thank you for your loving care. We thank you, Lord, that you show yourself long-suffering with us, such that you would repeat yourself. You would put these truths before us time and again, that we might learn these lessons, that we might be shaped and molded by them. Ultimately, Lord, that your name would be glorified as you work within your people, transforming their lives after that example of Christ. And Lord, as we would stop and reflect upon our commitment to these things, Lord, rather than throw up our hands in despair that we do not love you enough, or we don't, Lord, may you instead motivate us to cry out to you that you would work in such a way within us that we would grow in our yearning after you and after your word. Lord, we pray not only will you give us knowledge, but Lord, that you will give us insight, the capability to apply these truths to all matters of faith and life. Lord, that we might experience in this life these wonderful comforts that come with your word, the confidence that you give, the refuge that you provide, and the escape when necessary, as your word would instruct us. Work within us, Lord. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.